you have sung the scripture reading already, but I'm going to read it again for you. It comes to us from the book of Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Amen.
All right, I'm going to do something incredibly unorthodox. I'm a pianist, but I'm going to put this over here. I'm recovering from a cold. I don't have any germs anymore, but when I am in recovery, I sound the worst. When I am really sick, I sound just fine. It is really good to be here with you. I've gotten to know Sarah over these last 5 years, and it has been an incredible joy and privilege. I've actually been here picking her up in the parking lot. It's good to be in the real church with the real people, with all of your joy and your vitality. Chapman is one of your schools, and we're very, very proud now that we have both the Disciples and the UCC official affiliation. My job is to go around and keep this relationship between Chapman and the churches alive. I raised money for extra scholarships, which made it possible for Sarah to come and be a student there, and then get to work with about 100 students a year. Can I do a little bragging? We are about 1/60th of the undergraduate student body, 1/50th, our 100 students. Last year, Chapman had 4 Fulbrights, which is the international program to do graduate study. And it was the most we'd ever had. We were really excited. But I was particularly excited because 2 of the 4 were our Disciples on Campus students. So we are able to bring really strong students and mentor them in leadership. Today I'm going to talk to you about something that I wish I had learned about. And it is from a book by a man named Brian McLaren. And he was our Founders Day speaker last year. I'm going to tell you about Founders Day next year, right before the benediction. He wrote this book called Naked Spirituality, and I go to the gym quite a bit, and I was sitting on my exercise bike reading this book, Naked Spirituality, and there was a middle-aged man beside me, and I could tell he kept looking over, you know. And finally he said, where do you go to church? And I realized, naked spirituality, he thinks I belong to some weird spiritual group. And I said to him, well, as evocative as this sounds, it's really talking about coming before God completely without pretense. And he went, oh. And he went to another machine. So it was interesting. But I want to talk to you about his ideas because I really wish I had encountered his ideas much earlier in my life. Because it would have saved me a lot of guilt and shame. Because there have been seasons in my life when I thought I was being unfaithful, only to read this book and find maybe I was always on the right path after all. McLaren first talks about a season of simplicity. This is the season of spiritual awakening. A lot of our songs today, "Come, Now is the Time to Worship," is a season of simplicity kind of song. It is a sense of God being here and now with us. Your spiritual life is usually pretty simple. It's kind of what you try to teach children in Sunday school. There is right and wrong, good and bad. You need to make good choices. Does that sound like the mother of a 17-year-old coming out in me? Yeah. Let's make good choices now. There is little or no theological questioning or conflict. Praising God is simple and natural. It is in the season of simplicity that we feel easily and deeply at home with God. It is a joyous season. I have always wondered if there's anybody here that has been able to live their entire lives in this season. It would be wonderful if one could. But then along comes the season of complexity. This is a season of spiritual strengthening. This kind of complexity happens both in mind and in heart. Let me talk about the mind first. Let's say you start asking questions that you don't have any real answers for. You meet somebody who tells you that the earth was created 6,000 years ago, the Bible tells you. Anybody met anybody like that? You know? Or they tell you that the Bible tells you that all gay people are going to go to hell. That's the season of complexity as you try to go, well, that's not quite what Pastor Sarah preaches about. Complexity comes when you start to have questions and you're trying to make sense of them. Those are sometimes questions of the head, but sometimes they're questions of the heart. You have a falling out with your best friend, or even worse, with the person you said, "I do" to. You find yourself sometimes saying and doing things that you can't imagine. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Does anybody ever have that experience, or is that just me? You know, you get mad and you say something and then it haunts you. Why did I say that? In the season of complexity, you become deeply aware of your own limitations, your own mortality, your own sinfulness. Why do I do the things that I do? And how can I change this? If you've ever tried to break a bad habit or bad pattern in your life, you know how hard that is. That's the season of complexity. But it is not the hardest season. The hardest season you or I could be thrust into at any moment. I dare say as you were tumbling down your stairs, you were thrown into this season for a bit. The season of perplexity comes, and it is the season of spiritual surviving. A natural disaster, a car accident, a suicide, a death, unemployment, depression, or other mental illness. Survival feels impossible, and anger at God comes for allowing this to happen to you. Why? Help. Those are the words of for the season of perplexity. And it is often in this season when God feels absolutely absent. I learned about this season of perplexity when I was 16 years old and I was dating someone who had a car accident and died instantly. I remember getting in my car and driving. I don't recommend that when you're in this much pain. But I lived in a little town in West Texas, and I drove to the cemetery of all places, parked the car, watched a rolling West Texas thunderstorm come in, and I started yelling at God. I mean, screaming, hollering, I lost my voice yelling at God. For years, I have felt guilty about that night. Until one day I was studying that wonderful text, those last words of Jesus on the cross, and I hear Jesus hollering, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I realize if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And God must be big enough to take it and still work resurrections in our lives. This is the season where you are most in danger of walking away from faith altogether. In another season of perplexity in my life, when I was a pastor, it's really embarrassing to be in the season of perplexity when you're a pastor. I went to see Marlene. Marlene was kind of the spiritual mother of this church. And I poured out my heart to her, and she listened to me and cried with me and held my hand. And finally, when I'd gotten it all out, she said this simple thing to me that has changed my life. She said, Nancy, I'm going to believe for you until you can believe again for yourself. And she did. She gave me the permission to be so angry with God. But in that permission, I found God again. That finding of God again leads to a season of harmony. Harmony is a season of spiritual deepening. In the season of harmony, often prayer shifts dramatically. Often prayer is less about talking to God. It is more about being quiet with God. That Wendell Berry poem is a wonderful season of harmony poem, where he lies and just is with God. It's a growing ability to live with ambiguity, that I'm not going to get all my questions, all my whys answered, that there's no real answer to the suffering in this world other than to show up and be there for each other and lean on each other when we need it. And to find somewhere this still small voice of God in the chaos. It's seeing others with a new compassion and grace because you know yourself that you don't have it all figured out. The season of harmony is less about answers and more about living into the deeper questions. Sometimes in the season of harmony, there's a renewed yes to being the person that God has created you to be. I have seen people in a season of harmony even change professions or begin to limit their income in order to give away more to make a difference in the world. Now, I wish I could say that you start with simplicity and then you go to complexity and then you go to perplexity and then you go to harmony and you get to live there forever, world without end, amen, right? But it's more like a spiral dance, and they don't follow neatly one after another. I think the most important thing we need to learn to do together as a church is to stand with each other, and sometimes to stand each other in all the seasons of the Spirit, to offer each other room and grace and encouragement to grow. Early in my life, I thought the season of simplicity, even though I didn't call it that, I thought that that was it. That was spirituality. And you either had it or you didn't have it. But these seasons of God are gifts that are like fertilizer of the heart to help us grow and grow and grow toward God's light. Amen.